After popular demand, we have my husband, Michael Hobby, back.
Oh, man. Look at me. This is my second time, you know.
This is your third time on my podcast. We did one with Haley and Tyler Hubbard, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but I'm just me by myself.
Yeah, this is like second one-on-one.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the request.
Because we have not had enough time together.
I think we should talk more.
I was bathing Sunny today, and I'm like, can you come sit on the toilet and talk to me?
And I said, I've been talking to you all day. 4 weeks. But, of course, I went in there and I talked. We had a great time.
I mean, what do we even talk about?
Well, I want a grill.
You want a grill smoker so freaking bad. If you don't,
if anybody out there's husband or wife that cooks too, has any tips for the right grill / smoker.
Well, tell everyone which one you've narrowed it down to.
I can't. I want to hear everybody else's opinion.
All you do is look up
smokers. Well, Caroline, she loves, that we've discovered over this quarantine, she loves smoked
brisket,
beef brisket. So she wants beef brisket during this whole thing.
And that's how you turn this all on me.
But it's like my,
you say I'm
that's,
one.
That's the dream come true for me. So I'm like, well, now I need the proper thing to smoke brisket because I would love to smoke some meat.
You talk about a brisket smoker every day, at least. I bet I'm at least trying, 1 hour of every day
I'm
is devoted
trying
to this conversation.
To please you and give you the meals that you want.
You even turned it on me and said I didn't get you a smoker for your birthday today.
I mean, I threw it out there a lot. I figured maybe that would happen, but that's okay. I mean, it's not about gifts for birthdays, but I'd love to smoke you a brisket.
I got you a Zoom call with like 40 of your closest friends,
which was great.
I thought that would mean something to you.
It meant the world to me. It was awesome. It was very thoughtful, and I appreciate it. But I'd like to smoke you some meat.
And now you're like, man, we should go in and we should share a cow with somebody. We should like do a cow
well,
share.
You gave me that idea
I
too.
I did not. My sister did. Put that mic up to your mouth.
We
need to do like a cow share, and we need to split a cow with somebody.
I think everybody in this quarantine is getting bored, and all you can do is cook. And I cook in our house,
which I appreciate.
Yeah, and so you got to come up with new things to cook, new things to do. I mean. So
and now we're on a health kick because we got back from Texas. We went to Texas for the first 4 weeks.
I'm talking
quarantine.
Doritos, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Plus a Dr. Pepper every day.
Yeah, that was you.
I had a Dr. Pepper every day. I'm back on my Profile by Sanford kick. I talked to my consultant today, Colleen. And for all y'all who haven't been following along with me, I've been on a health journey. Michael's been following along with me.
I've been here the whole time.
I've been going to Profile by Sanford. It's you can do it online. You can have a consultant. You can go in and talk to them. Since we're in quarantine, I'm talking on the phone. They design meal plans for you, help you get in shape. It's been great. I have to say, I fell off the bandwagon when we were in Texas hardcore. And I told Colleen that today. And she said a lot of people have and don't feel bad about it. But instead of feeling bad about it, try to get to the root of why you were eating junk every day or like what you were doing. And I think it was because I just wanted to feel like a kid, not worry. And Doritos and Dr. Pepper made me feel like that. And plus, they taste so good.
Everybody loves eating like a six-year-old.
But now we're back on it, and I'm back on my Profile plan, and I have been Pelotoning twice. I've done it twice this week now.
You're right. You're one up on me.
I know. We're on it together, which I appreciate us doing this together. But really fast, if y'all are interested in my health journey, go to my highlights on my story. It's called Profile, and you can learn all about it. Follow along with me. Join in. Check them out. Yeah. But we're really on a health kick now.
Yeah, we did a big walk today. You Peloton today. We're just, you know, trying to stay active. Trying
I'm
to stay
tired.
Moving. Yeah.
And my back hurts all the time. I'm like, my back hurts. It's not corona because I know aching is part of it.
It's an 8-month old. Ugh. And she's crawling now.
She is crawling.
And they go, I mean, moms out there know everywhere you're not supposed to go, wherever there's a wire, wherever there's a sharp object, wherever there's something they can fall off of.
There she is.
That's it.
I mean, you give her all the toys, play mats, safe places to play in the world. What is she going to do? She wants to go for the electrical socket.
Yeah. It is funny.
Yeah, you're on the bed, you're playing. What does she do? She dives straight for the edge.
Yep. I've tested the theory to see.
Oh, man. I was in the bathroom the other day, and you had Sunny on the bed, and all of a sudden, I hear a squeal, and I see her mid-fall in the bed. I caught her. I know.
Her the whole time.
But her head was going straight down. I was like,
Well, you got to make them, I don't know, maybe you make them realize that, like, danger, but maybe that comes later. They don't think about it now.
No.
But, you know, She was okay. I was watching.
I know. You're a great dad. You really are a great dad, I have to say. You're the sweetest. You're the most fun.
Oh, thank you.
You always smile real big at her. I feel like we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have any complaints?
No complaints, no.
You're lying.
No, I don't have any
complaints. What's something I could do better and worse? How could I improve, and then what am I doing great?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I think you're doing great.
You do?
Absolutely.
I think you're doing great.
Yeah. I mean, we both have our natural anxieties of a first child, but...
And just to be honest, because this is a real conversation, I don't want all y'all thinking that Michael and I haven't fought during this first 8 months of Sonny's life. I mean, so if you're thinking like, oh, they just have it all together and they're perfect. We've had some knockdown dragouts, being new parents, exhausted.
Knockdown dragouts.
Well, I mean, for us. I mean, we're not knocking or dragging
we
down.
We may have said some things we didn't mean.
No. Yeah, at like 4 a.m. when you're so tired, your baby's screaming... You probably aren't going to respond perfectly.
It's just natural.
Yeah.
It's life.
I like that you just chalk it up to that. You don't take it too personal, too Mm-mm. serious. I don't either. I learned from you on that.
Yeah.
You're such a country boy at heart. You're so black and white with stuff.
Sometimes.
I like that about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah.
I got a few questions. But then I just have some questions. Bill Satcher said, what do you want us to talk about? He said buttholes.
Well, they are all sorts of shapes and sizes, colors.
Have one main function.
Yeah. You know, they like opinions. They all stink.
Okay. Just got married. Don't have a baby. Does sex change after a baby?
Ooh, well.
The sex questions. I will say... There is a difference between having sex and making love.
Totally.
You
gotta do both.
You gotta do both. Sometimes you're more in a having sex phase because you don't have time to make love.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta keep the love making in there, I think.
Yeah. I think when you have a baby, it just the time frame of all that is different, you know, when it's just the two of you. So enjoy just the two of you now.
Yeah.
And then when you have a child, which we hope you do, if you want one. It's between naps, and there's always a baby monitor in the room. And sometimes that goes off. And what do? Well, shit.
Sometimes you just got to work it into your day.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, schedule it.
Sometimes it's like baby goes down for a nap. It's like, okay, let's do this. We have 13 things to do in this 1 hour that mm-hmm. she's sleeping, so... Sex is one of the things on the list. It's not like you can...
I think it's important to keep it on the list.
You don't want that one getting booted off the list?
No. I think that's healthy for every couple, you know?
Oh, God. I think it's important to keep it on the list. Oh, you would say that. Will you put your mic up a little
closer? Oh, sure. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, man. That really got me. Shocker.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gosh. Hey, just honest women, honest talk.
That's right. We're just girlfriends talking
just over here.
Just
getting real, huh?
Oh, it is important to keep it on the list. I will say, like, we get in little phases where it's like we're only having sex, not making love, and then we make a little love, and I remember why it's so important to like turn the lights down, get a playlist going, relax a little bit, like take some time.
All right.
Okay, that's all I have to say. I don't want to do that every day because that's like too much work and energy.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying nobody got time for that all the time. I think it's important to keep it on the list.
All right, what other questions we got?
Okay, let's see. Well, what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What have you been doing during quarantine? What have you liked? Okay, tell me what... There's so many terrible things about what's happening in the world right now. We all know them. But like that, there's also a flip side where there are positive things. So what are something... What's something that has surprised you that you have enjoyed during this lockdown?
I think, you know, for me, it's like the permission, which is weird to think, the permission to enjoy your family, enjoy your time, and like really, like there's really nothing else, you know, you can do. I mean, I'm still writing songs and doing demos. Yeah, we got a
song to remember coming out to radio soon. Be looking for
coming out. And you know, the only difference for us is like we just can't go on tour, which is a bummer. We miss seeing our friends and our crew and our family and road family, and you know that. Plus, this is the first time in my life I haven't. This is the not been on the road. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's a readjustment to have you home. It's a readjustment
for sure.
Like when you first started staying home for a while in the beginning, I was like, you got to go on the road. Yeah. You're messing up my flow at home.
It's a very healthy relationship between you and I when it comes to that. But
yeah,
you know, so it's been an adjustment to like actually like figure out like, okay, it's okay to just like, this is a moment in time that we'll never forget. It's a moment in time that we'll never probably get again. Hopefully we don't. And to really enjoy like the people around you and the family and like do things that you've never been able to have time to do.
Like you have been doing house handyman like work. I have never seen you do so many things around the house as you have lately.
Yeah.
Like our garage is spick and span.
Well, there's nothing else to do sometimes. Plus it's always like put some love into what you love.
You love to power wash. I mean, the whole house is power washed, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of been one of the things that have been positive. It's also, you know, for me, I'm always like doing stuff and like working and like doing it. So it's unnatural to like have a ripple. And I think a lot of people feel that way out there. They're like, well, wait a minute, you know, but you're also learning and discovering like new ways to do things and be more productive, to concentrate on important things and other important things as well. I think it's kind of opening up the world to a whole new way of working.
You like know, so many, you don't have to necessarily go into an office or.
Yeah. I mean, doing meetings over Zoom and gosh, like Zoom, writing songs over Zoom. And yeah. I mean, and you know, it's great to have.
Y'all have to like record whole songs over Zoom.
Yeah. We've been, do it. So it's been kind of cool to like, you know, kind of push yourself outside your comfort zone. And
you did your first songwriting session over Zoom and you wrote a great song.
Yeah, we did that.
I mean, it's all a little weird.
It's not weird. I think, you know, instead of focusing on like what the negative side effects of this situation, like the positive things that are coming out of it are just like people are growing and like doing things in different ways than they're used to and getting out of their comfort zone, which I think is a pretty cool deal. You know, they're wearing a suit on top and sweatpants on the bottom.
You had a Zoom meeting today. And you literally came out with your sweatpants on the bottom and you had on a button up, all your necklaces, hat, everything on top. I wish I could have taken a picture of you.
Yeah.
That was great.
Well, you know, you still want to, that's great. You still want to make an impression.
Yeah.
But.
You also want to be cozy and comfy if you
nobody
can.
Wants to, nobody wants to see your legs.
Yeah. That's so true, babe.
Yeah. That's the way I feel. How about you? What have you learned through this whole, where are you at with this current situation? This is fun. I'm going to interview the interviewer.
I feel thankful and grateful that you and I, like carpe diem, seized the day and we went to Texas and hung out at the mm-hmm. farm for a month with my sister, Catherine, brother-in-law, Willie, and niece, Genevieve, because, and my parents, they would social distance come hang, but they were still involved with their life and stuff and doing things like on a small level. So they just stayed at their house, but it was really cool to hit the pause button, be in nature. We were very blessed to have that chance to go be in nature and like have a month just to be with them, which when will we ever do that again? That and like to hike every day and to be outside every day and to have like peace of just like quietness. I don't know. I've never really like lived on a farm before, like lived.
Yeah.
And I know you grew up on a farm, but
we weren't farmers, but we grew up on one.
That's right. Yeah. But I just, I appreciated that. And I tried to stay present every day that this was a moment in time that we probably will never, ever experience again. And like you said, we had permission to press pause. Because there's nothing to do. And actually, there was a whole lot of fear happening. And there still is a lot of fear. But there was a lot of fear happening in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't know. that felt really good to me, to just be in nature, be with family.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Sunny got to be with Genevieve, which is really cool. Her name, yeah. her cousin. I don't know. The whole world's weird right now. I think, like you're saying, it's sort of just, it's like opening my mind to the fact that nothing is certain. We put in place all of these systems and all of this, all of these like rules and things that we think have to happen to make the world run. And then we've seen everything just stop on a dime. So it just makes me realize that nothing is certain. And what is certain to me is the people that you love and, I don't know, trying to make an impact around people that you love and that you care about and help where you can. And then everything else, like pretty much like so many people's careers have just stopped, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because they can't, like so many careers that involve being around people, serving people, servicing people. Like,
well, you got to think about the people right now that are in the medical field and the nurses and the doctors and everything, everybody out there. And like the people like, you know, really, you know, there's two sides of it. You know,
it's like you're either super involved saving the world or you're on pause.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important for people to take time that are on pause to, you know, help and appreciate the people that aren't, because it really is zero or 60 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
you kind of, I find myself feeling guilty sometimes that like I'm not on the 60 side, but there's nothing to do if you are not in those occupations. Like, you really need to get out of the way.
Well, I think doing your part in staying home and following the rules is your contribution to the other side, you know, and not being reckless and not being.
And helping where you can, supporting small businesses where you can.
Yeah. I mean, all those things are your contribution to, you know, I mean, just because we can't work as far as touring doesn't mean that we can't do other things to kind of. Staying at home, you know, essentially is what you're supposed to do. That helps the people that are working. So, I mean, you know, it's a crazy time, and it's something that I hope people stay positive in their situations. I hope people stay motivated and also, you know, take a deep breath and find things that they love or maybe something they wanted to do that they never had time to do, like go try it, go give it a go.
Instead of just being only upset and sad, like try to use this as a chance.
Yeah, as an opportunity. You know, and enjoy your family. You know, I you know, some people, you know, enjoy your family. Like, I'm away from my family a lot. You guys, obviously, being on the road, and it's been a really special time for me actually being home for the first year of our daughter's life. And like being able to be with her and see her grow and see her do her thing, because, you know, once all this goes away, everything turns back on and we're gone again. You know, so, you know, looking at the positive sides of things, you know, that, you know, the time that you'll never get back, and that's kind of what I'm thinking with this whole, I'm trying to be that way.
What do you do to stay present? What are your tricks to stay present? Like, if you've, like, how do you stay in the moment?
I mean,
like with Sunny, like say you want to just like notice a moment, be in the moment, be actually right here at this second in this podcast talking to me. Like, what do you do to make sure that you're not drifting away, thinking about something else, being distracted by something else? Like, what is a tip that you do?
A tip? I don't know if I have a tip. I mean, I think just like subconsciously knowing, like, there's no guilt of doing this. You know, I'm not missing out on anything else or missing, you know what I mean?
You're not worried that you're not, you feel like maybe you had something you're supposed to do because you need to work and like.
Well, honestly, there's just like, sometimes there's just nothing else to do, you know, and like everything seems to be like a slow paced kind of different feel than it has in the past. But I don't know. And it's also just like saying, and this is like, makes you realize like what's important. You know, and it's like, well, this is important. This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, whatever. Fuck off. Like, if that makes sense. But
I feel like you and I have grown up together because we met when you were 21 and I was 24. And we went from like kids to, and I'm not saying we're like mature, we are adults, but like we have really evolved together a lot, I feel like. Like even like with our thinking, like when we first were young, both of us, I was a musician in the beginning. We both just were like chasing dreams, working hard, hustling all the time, going out constantly, trying to meet people, doing everything we could. And it's like the older we've gotten, the more we've realized how, what to say yes to and what to say no to. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what's the saying, you know, if it's not a hell yeah, it's a no.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, I think that applies to a lot of things. I think that applies to kind of life in general, but let's get back to the sex talk.
How much sex do you think need for a healthy marriage
I was just kidding.
In your perfect world.
I don't know. another loaded question. There's just loaded questions all over this thing, guys. Connecting with the one you love is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you should do that as often as you feel, whatever your loins tell you.
On the flip side of that, what do you want to tell people who are maybe in a hard spot? Maybe they are financially stressed. They're married. They have 3 kids now screaming at the house. They're having to homeschool them. They're having to work from home. They like, what do you want to tell those kind of people who are kind of stressed? Like, what would be some just encouragement?
I don't know about 3 kids, you know?
Well, your brother has 5.
Gee, I know. And yeah. Well, yeah. you know, I'm always a glass half full kind of guy. You know, I always look at kind of the positive ways and kind of try to maneuver that way towards what I'm trying to accomplish. I don't let that beat you down, because if it beats you down, it keeps you down.
Ooh, that's good.
And always look at it as, okay, what's next? What can I do? And know that the cloud will pass, you know, at some point. You know, you can't really predict when that is, but if you keep moving and keep doing, it will always come back around. That's just how I believe that's just how it works. There's highs and there's lows to everything. Everybody knows that. And yeah, if you know, if it beats you down, don't let it keep you down. Mm-hmm. So don't pay attention to it. Just kind of keep your eye on the prize. You know, as far as 3 kids go, or that shit, I don't know. That sounds like craziness, being cooped up with everybody for a long time. But you also take your time to take a break. You know, it's okay to say, I need to
carve out a time to have a little bit of me time to figure out where you can put that in, whether it's at the end of the night when the kids are asleep,
or whether it's in the morning before they get up, or whether
like
it's just
your time to center.
I think that's important. And then it's, you know, important to always take, even if it's 10 minutes, to connect with your spouse, your partner.
And even if you can't, like we're joking around about sex and making love and stuff, even if you don't have that in your time frame right now, like if it works in, great, but like, yeah, take a moment to find some time for your spouse.
Yeah.
Or partner. And it's not always easy though. I mean, it like navigating life, kids, families, jobs, a pandemic, like all sorts of other things. Life can be rough, but I agree. Like you have to like figure out what you're going for and try to keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah. I agree.
So if you could have a hall pass, celebrity hall pass, who would it be?
Where this question
I'll tell you mine.
From?
Myself.
Oh, you have one.
I do have one.
Well, I'm only married and committed to one woman, so I don't have one.
I know who yours is.
Do you?
Kate Beckinsale.
No.
No, you like Kate Beckinsale.
I mean, I did.
No,
I
you do. Love her. She's your favorite.
She's great. But, you know, I don't know.
That's the one that always pops up for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, she's significantly older than you.
Yeah. You what about care? Like a Kylie Jenner, you know?
Oh, you're going young.
I don't know.
Oh, you've switched it up. Seeing, Kylie Jenner, I don't this know. Is new.
Who else we got? Throw some more in there.
I mean, you're the one. It's your paw pass, not mine.
I don't have one.
Mine would be Leonardo DiCaprio. But I think that's because you look like him. And he's trying to save the whole world.
More about personality and
exactly.
Know, heart and attitude.
Exactly.
He's
got a great personality.
You know?
Have you seen his movies?
Yeah, all of them.
So what would we do if we actually met our hall passes? Like, what would you do if you met Kate Beckinsale and she was like, I love you. You're so hot.
I mean, that just would be very flattering. You know? Be a very flattering situation. You know? So
you'd have to politely decline.
Absolutely, yeah. But I got a great story.
That's right. And the story's really
awesome. Life is about stories.
That is true. You're a great storyteller.
I don't know about all that, but yeah, well, I don't even want to have this conversation. So
what's some of the best advice you've ever gotten? Okay, and also, okay, let me reframe this. You've met a lot of your heroes. Like, people that you've looked up to. You have gotten to have a conversation with Steven Tyler. You've toured with Kid Rock, who I know, like, you loved listening to his music growing up. You've toured with Darius Rucker, who I know you loved Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, your cousins are the Black Crowes, and hopefully y'all get to play your shows with them in June, which would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what is it like? And you've toured with Jason Aldean, who I know you love his music. So many people are like, what is it like meeting people that you look up to and knowing them well? Because a lot of us have people that we put on a pedestal, but we just keep them on a pedestal. We never meet them. We never know them. What is it like to know the people that you have admired since you were a child, or just admired since you were a young adult? Like, what does that feel like? What have you learned?
Originality is what I've learned from all those people. They're all uniquely them and do what they do. And
they stick to it, even if they get criticism.
The common thread between it all is they encourage you to be that. They don't want you to be them. They want you to be you. And I think that's kind of the best advice to, like, get without even being said throughout the whole thing, is admiring and acknowledging that these people are uniquely themselves as artists, songwriters, you know, and singers and players, and they're unapologetic.
But that's kind of scary to be unapologetic, I feel like. Like, you have to have major balls to be unapologetic. Especially people who are like, I mean, look at Kid Rock. He rocks the boat all the time, but he's unapologetic about it.
Well, you have to be yourself and genuine, and that's what makes you you. And you're your own kind of, you know, in my opinion, you're your own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And you stick to that, and that's what you should be. I mean, that's what being an artist is all about, is expressing yourself, not expressing everyone else, expressing yourself. And guys like that have had big careers and, you know, fortunate enough for me to tour with or know, and other people that we know, I mean, that's just kind of what it comes down to. It's always be you, be different.
Why is it so hard to be different, though? Why is it so hard to be you? Because, like, especially in the entertainment industry, there's all of these factors involved, and sometimes
it ain't hard to be me.
But sometimes it's hard to be yourself, like, honestly.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that play into that, of influence and, like, what you want and, like, where you sacrifice and moves you make in the process of, like, being a successful artist, you know, and you're always wanting to be more successful, just like any other business, you know. But
and it's money. There's always money involved. People spend a lot of money to
yeah, but
get your career out there. There's influence from the industry side. You know, everyone has a piece of the pie because you are a brand.
Well, but I think what it comes down to is just like being true to yourself and true to your brand and like true to what you want to be and like navigating ways to progress that and make it work and like be, and like there's always an ebb and flow of circumstances that happen and opinion and things you have to do, but like it's better to be the different, make your own lane, like pave your own path, make your own lane, and if that's what works for you, then that's what you should do. Or you know you can do other things, but everybody's uniquely different, and I think it's just, you know, that's just one thing that I've admired about the people that you named, is like they have their thing. And their thing is, you know, irreplaceable. And it's true to them. And
so sometimes it takes a while.
Be fearless.
But sometimes it takes a while. And it can be discouraging. Like, you guys are on your third major label deal. That is amazing. But, like, why? A lot of times people want to quit. Like, say you get your first record deal. And whatever happens, so many things are at play. Nobody's fault. Nobody's wrong. It just fell apart. Now you're on your third one. That takes a lot of perseverance. Why is perseverance so important? Because some people, it seems like they just get instant success or things happen so easy. But really, when you break it down and look inside of the crystal ball, no one really gets it
easy. There's no such thing as instant success.
So why is perseverance and like committing to your dream so important to you?
You know, I always say you don't take anything... Don't take business personal. There's so many factors involved in what you do. And also, don't let somebody else's opinion or situation stop you from doing what you're dreaming of and what you want to accomplish. Like, that's a complete... If you quit because they quit, then you weren't fucking meant to be there in the first place.
And that's just one person.
Yeah.
They're not the ones inside of your dream, inside of your head.
I mean, and there's like so many factors that involved in that, but you just got to see it for what it is and not take it personal and then navigate. You know, that's the way my mind works as far as that kind of stuff. And like, things aren't always going to be the way you want them to be. So like, but that doesn't mean you should sit on your hands and be an asshole. Plus, you know, you never know where things turn around and come back around. And like, you know, when I always say, like, when your name comes across somebody's desk, you want them to have a good feeling, you know, not a, ugh,
here's Michael Hobby, gross,
or whatever. But
which no one would ever say.
You just can't take that shit personally. You got to see what it is, and you got to think about it. I mean, you're running you're being an artist full time, and they're being
whatever they are,
a company full time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're running a lot of more elements than you are, and they're, you know, that's the difference. That's,
and you're
the
in your creative, you're in your creative mindset all the time, and they're in their business mindset all the time.
Yeah. And sometimes those two equations don't add up.
And then throw in egos, which everybody has.
Totally. Everybody's got an ego. It's just the difference is how you use yours.
So how do you like to use your ego? This is called Get Real. Honest women, honest talk. I don't know.
To use my ego.
I feel like you're very aware of your ego. Like, I feel like you're very intentional about your ego. I mean, you have an ego for sure.
Everybody has one.
I have an ego for sure. But you're very intentional about not letting your ego flare up. Like, you don't burn bridges. Something I have learned from you is don't burn a bridge. Like, before, in my younger days, in my 20s, I would be a hothead. I would get upset. I would be dramatic. I mean, no one can believe this because I seem so wise and profound all the time. But no, just kidding. Ha ha. But I've worked on myself a lot. But you've taught me so much, because in my younger years, when we were dating in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
I mean, I was a firecracker, and not in a good way. Like, I would just, my fuse would get lit so fast. I would get so mad so quickly. If I felt like someone, like, with, like, in my, in whatever career I was working on, the music career, I would take things so personally. I would get so hurt and offended. And what I have learned from you, always, 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 and I don't know how you do this, is you never, ever burn a bridge, no matter if somebody screws you. You always stay high. You stay above it.
Well, I think,
and I don't know how you do that. I've learned from you. I try to do that now.
I think the difference in, like, someone screws you, that's a very loose term, you know, and I'll associate that to, like, all my situations in life. Like, no one's deliberately screwed me,
right,
or fucked me over. Like, you know, people have done the best they could, and certain results didn't add up to their expectations. That doesn't mean they screwed me. You know, like you know, I look at, like, getting, like, someone screwing you being like, well, they fucked me behind my back and stole some money, or they did whatever they did. Like, that's like being screwed. But, like, when intentions are pure and things don't work out, that doesn't mean that someone fucked you over.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean, I mean, yeah, maybe the wrong decisions were made.
But everyone was trying their best.
But everybody was trying their best.
Right.
And you can't take that personal. And then at the end of the day, everybody always looks out at people like it was your fault, or it was your fault, or it was your fault. When really, I always try to look at things going, okay, what did I do wrong? I need to deliver better next time. Because if you deliver great, then most things, you know, work out. But there's that.
But it's a very creative thing, because there's no that gray
area of, like,
for creativity.
Exactly. There's no blueprint. So
you
can say
a canvas, an artwork.
Someone can say something didn't work, and you go, well, shit, that's because I didn't
X, Y, and Z.
And then you could go also go, well, I did X, Y, and Z, and they didn't make it work. And they go, fuck, it didn't work because I didn't, you know.
And then people start getting mad at each other and blaming.
Don't take it personal. Be productive. And don't take, like, just move past it. Keep going. Like, life.
And the thing is, like, you have stayed friends with all of these people that you've had very intense professional relationships with. A lot of success with some of them. And then some of them not success, but, like, at the core of everything, it's always been successful because everyone always had good intentions. And, like, you're all trying to work together. And I'm not just talking about record deals. I'm talking about everything in your life.
Well, you're in charge of your destiny. You're in charge of your attitude. You're in charge of how you feel when you wake up. You're in charge of what you want to do. You're in charge of what you want to create. And no one's going to do that for you.
And you can wake up and be pissed off every day.
Yeah. And
but what is that going to do? No one's going to want to be around you and work with you.
Yeah, and you can partner up with people that help facilitate your dreams and goals, and appreciate those people. And it's not always going to go. It's like a relationship, you know. You know when it's time to just say, hey, you know what? I want to see other people, you know, and sometimes that works, and sometimes you come right back. Who the fuck knows? There's no rhyme or reason to it. I just think when it comes to that world, you know, any world, like, just don't let that discourage you. Don't let failure discourage you. Don't let disappointment discourage you.
Well, it's going to happen.
Because it's going to happen, and you hope it happens more and more because it makes you greater and greater.
Well, it's like a train track. Like, there's all these different stops on a railroad. There's all these different stops, and some of them you stop and it's despair. Some of them you stop and it's anger. Some of them you stop and it's feeling lost. Some of them you stop and it's euphoria and it's success and it's abundance. But, like, you got to keep rolling down the train track, and not every stop is going to be the same. Like, you're gonna hit all the different peaks and valleys. But that's life. And I don't know why we got it in our heads that life was supposed to just be easy and without hardship. Like, where did that thought ever come from? why did we ever think that it should just be flawless? Because it's not. Nowhere in the world, no recorded history of any great person, of any great time, of any great anything, basically, look up anything, and there's never just this, oh, everything was perfect, everything was great. That never existed anywhere. So why do we think that it should?
I don't know. I've never thought that.
You never have. Why have you never thought that?
Well, it's like a prayer. You know, for me, it's like I thank God for everything that I do have and everything I don't.
You always say that. Thank you for everything I have and everything I don't.
That's what makes my journey. And that's something that I live by. So I never, if you wake up every day expecting life to be perfect, God bless you. I hope it is for you. But, I mean, you're going to have problems, or issues, or get sick, or do whatever. I mean, like, it's just going to fucking happen. Mm-hmm. It's just about how you look at it at the end of the day and what you try to do to progress, and you don't let it beat you down. I mean, at the end of the day, we ain't getting out of here alive.
That's right.
So let's roll,
What's your end goal? Like, what is success to you? When you think about your life, I'm not trying to say this in a morbid way. When you get to the end of your life, what do you hope you have accomplished? Not just like career stuff, but like, what are you going for? What is your goal for your life? Like, what do you want your canvas, your picture, your stamp in history to be?
Stamp in history to be.
Yeah, this is deep. I told you, I forced you into this podcast. You didn't know I was going to make you go all the way down to the bottom of the well.
Hold on, I got a phone call. Going on a lifeline.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. This is like a question you can always just say the cliche things.
Well, don't say cliche things.
But cliche things are cliche for a reason. But I think what it really means is, living a happy life, you don't want your death to be measured by the amount of success you had. I think it should be measured by the amount of the impact you had. But also, and that shifts and changes as you grow. Like, now we have a daughter. So for me, for her to always feel happy and great, and like that she, when she looks at and thinks about me, she thinks of in a positive way of like, he was an incredible father. Mm-hmm. That's a win. Mm-hmm. Because that keeps spreading.
Right.
With you, he was an incredible husband. That keeps spreading. And if you have another kid, or if we have, you want them to feel that way too, and to keep spreading. And then, your career-wise, you just want to have an impact, but you also, you want to be a good provider for your family. So at the end of the day, when it comes to your time, I want a lot of people and a positive message, and then again, I just want to make sure the people that are close to me are taken care of. And, right now, Sonny goes, man, he was an incredible father and friend, and I think that's the win.
Totally.
For me, that got me all emotional.
You want to cry a little bit?
No.
I'll cry with you.
No, I bet you would. You'd love that.
I love to cry.
I know.
What do you do? Like, I told you the other day, I said, babe, I stopped. I'm only pumping now like once a day or once every other day, which Michael's so sweet. You listen to all my breast feeding, pumping journey so lovingly. You're so supportive. But I told you the other day, I'm like weaning off of pumping, and I was like, I just need to cry, and I don't have any reason why, and I don't know why. And you're like, okay, that's cool. That's cool.
I mean, do your thing.
I know. You're so like cool about it. Like, I appreciate that about you because I can fall down an emotional rabbit hole and you're just like, cool. Have your moment.
As long as I didn't do anything wrong to cause you to cry, then like, I know it ain't my fault. So you think, girl. That's the way I feel about it. And I know you're going through a lot of emotional and like hormonal things. I mean, you just had a child, you know, we're not even a year into this. And like you breastfeed and you got a baby and your hormones. And, you know, I know what the first, you know, 9 months looked like. We're not even on the back nine, finished with the back nine yet. So
what have you learned about hormones?
Unpredictable.
I see. I feel like I've been super consistent.
That's what people with hormones say.
But you've been so nice to me, which I really appreciate.
And you've been incredible. Like I haven't, luckily for me, I haven't had a wild hormonal experience. I know a lot of people do, and a lot of our friends have and dealt with that. But I mean, you've been an incredible.
I mean, I was crying every single day the first 3 months of her life.
But you know what? You cried before you were pregnant every single day about stuff. So I'm just kind of we've been together a long time, so I think I'm used to it. But you do an incredible job, and you do an incredible job being aware and balancing things and letting me know things. You're very great at communicating, obviously, which is why you have your podcast and you communicate so well with people. You've always had that gift. And I'm one of those guys that says, you know, give me the day sheet, give me the things. And if I'm aware, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, like you're cool with me having an emotional meltdown if I need to have one, if you know that it has nothing to do with you. And well, if it does, if you, that's my responsibility to tell you if
but
it does.
I mean, if you look at me and say, hey, I need to go cry, then I'm going to go, well, great, I'll take over, you go cry. If that makes you feel better. It's like if I looked at you and said, I need to take a walk and I need to go do my thing. And you would go, well, I think you should take a walk. You know, that's what, you know, I think that's what's important is to realize that and don't take it personal. Like, you're not, I mean, I'm not worried about you. I mean, you crying is something that I did because I'm like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I know I did.
Well, I think that's the key thing that, like, over the past 10 years, and we're going to wrap up soon because I know, like, I really appreciate you coming on.
I got a poker tournament.
You got a poker tournament?
To play,
Do you really?
I mean, yeah, there's a game.
Okay, you keep looking at your phone like you're ready to go. Okay, we're going to wrap up.
We got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Before it starts.
Okay.
I was late last week.
Okay. I need to use the computer to upload this podcast. So, okay, let's wrap up. Anyway, I think that something really cool that has happened to us after being together like 11 years basically now is we have stopped. I mean, I still try to analyze everything and I always ask you about your feelings and what you talk about everything. But overall, I feel like we have come to a place where we just accept each other for who we are and we don't try to like, I mean, I don't know. For the most part, don't try to change each other. I mean, I'm probably worse at trying to change you than you are at me. You're very good at accepting. I like, I'm all over the place. But like, we really are good at just being like, this is you, this is me. We love each other. We're committed. And we're building a life together. So let's stop like pinpointing all the stupid little things that don't matter. And like, let's recognize that we love each other and we're showing up for each other every day. And that to me is what marriage is. Like to show up for someone every day and love them and choose them. That's a huge deal.
Totally. That's what, like first kid shit.
Huh?
First kid shit.
What do you mean?
We concentrate on the kid all the time, so we have to notify ourselves of the good things that each person does, and then it goes back to another thing, I think.
But I think we owe it to each other to be honest and communicate. Like, if I'm actually upset with you, if you're upset with me, you can't do this, like, beating around the bush, like,
coming out sideways.
Like, you need to just straight up say, I'm mad at you for this.
Hit me straight ahead and we can figure it out.
I'm not trying to drag it out or like create some weird energy. Let's talk about it. If you got to get heated about it for a second.
That goes back to just not taking shit personal.
But deal with it. Confront it. And don't be an asshole and come around sideways and be mad at your partner when they can't read your mind. Tell them what you're feeling.
Yeah, be productive.
I feel like we're good at telling each other what we feel.
I know you are.
You You're the best. I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for coming on here.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
Hey, vote for Michael.
Yeah.
You sound like a politician. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. Last thing, you know, I leave every podcast with Leave Your Light.
I think I put, all right.
What do you want everyone to know? Broad. There's no right answer. It's a broad question.
Broad. I think if it beats you down, don't let it keep you down.
So what do you do instead?
Keep pushing, man. Don't let it hang down there. Don't let it win. Whatever that is for you, don't let it win, because you can beat it. Does that make sense?
Drop the mic. Oh, yeah. And also, I would like to say there's a difference between sex and making love.
Oh, are you trying to say something?
I love you, babe.
I love you.